You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Alex Fitch, and in tonight's Clear Spot, I'm talking to playwright Benjamin Yao, whose current script, Nakamitsu, is being performed at the Gate Theatre in Notting Hill. How did you end up adapting Nakamitsu in the first place?
I was becoming increasingly interested in non-Western forms of theatre, particularly the theatre of Asia, and I was exploring around what sort of texts and what sort of theatre forms that they had been using. I was had also done a lot of reading, particularly around Chinese and Japanese poetry. One of the big translators of the time was Ezra Pound, and he was very influenced by no theatre, this form of Japanese theatre, and so was W.B. Yeats as well. And from that, I came across an old Victorian translation done, I think, in the late 1800s. By a Victorian Japanologist, I think they called him at the time, called Basil Hall Chamberlain. And he'd done a translation of this no play Nakamitsu, but in old Victorian English. And I was particularly attracted to it because it seemed to cross a lot of forms. Because as you may know, in standard kind of Western theatre, we tend to talk about Aristotelian drama. So you get a lot of conflict, a protagonist, a lot of obstacles are put in his way, he overcomes those obstacles, there's often someone else who's trying to get something which is counter to what he wants, there's a big turning point, and there's a resolution, and then that's all happy. Whereas no theatre and a lot of theatre of non-Western forms are much more involved about spectacle, about gesture, about music, about song, about dance, about basically most things that TV isn't. And of course, theatre is increasingly, particularly UK theatre, has got very wound up in the kind of realist and naturalist forms. So Nakamitsu has a story kind of in the Aristotelian mode. There is a conflict, there's a choice, you have to choose between killing your own son or killing your lord's son. But at the same time, it's intricately wound up in the no tradition. That is, it requires music, preferably live music, it requires a dance, it requires a costume, it requires what we'd say in British theatre, kind of a total theatre spectacle. So something which combines all the elements that theatre can be and somehow integrates them into one, as opposed to only one thing theatre could be, like its story or its physical aspect or something like that. And so I thought it'd be very interesting to adapt it into a modern-day version, at least in the clarity of the writing, as a way into trying to understand what the no form may be about. And I did it purely, actually, as an exercise, first time round, for personal pleasure, I guess.
It went on to win the Oberon Books and Gate Theatre Prize for Best Translation. I mean, when you did it for a personal exercise, how did it end up, in their hands, as it were?
Well, I guess it's partially a coincidence of geography and circumstance, because I live off Ladbroke Grove, and the Gate Theatre just happens to be one of my local theatres, so 10-15 minutes up the road. So actually, on the last day, on the deadline day, I'd just seen the advert, thought, well, I've written something which would qualify. I could just pop up to Notting Hill Gate before starting off on the day job and hand it in. So I did. I was rather surprised that it got shortlisted, because if you look at it sort of on the page, it only comes out to about 10 or 15 pages of actual text, so not very many lines of text at all. So I'd kind of thinking, well, it's really nice that they're shortlisted and everything, and it shows that they're very varied in terms of world theatre, because they've chosen a Spanish play, they've chosen a Japanese play, they've chosen some Scandinavian play or something, but there's not a cat's chance in hell that it'll go any further. And then they rang me up and said it had won, so I thought that was brilliant. I think maybe it's partially because the judges who choose it don't actually then have to go on and stage it. So I don't know whether that was any influence on the fact that they thought, well, this is, for them, whatever, the most interesting work to see being done.
Your translation, and it runs to 9 pages when you see it printed in book form. Presumably, is that an average length for a no play in its original form or in translation?
Yes, if you talk about total text, that is about right, probably 9 to 10, maybe up to 15 max in terms of text. If you see a longer play, so a 15-page play done in Japan, it could be anywhere between 1 to 2 hours in total performance time. So if I were to read out that as we are doing in conversation now, you'd read it out probably in about 15 minutes.
Which demonstrates how much of Noah is then expected to be performance and music in relation to the text.
Yes, exactly. And chorus and singing and the stillness, you know, the speed, you could say the lines, everything which happens in between, much more like that. In some ways, interestingly, it could be considered more similar to something like TV and film, where some film scripts actually have relatively few words. In fact, some of the most successful, when you sort of read them, you think, well, actually, that was remarkably short for what was 2 hours of film. And then you actually listen to it or see it, and you realise that a lot of it is either music score, scenery, cinematography, all of that, and then you get three lines of text, meaningful looks, and then you go on to the next scene.
I wouldn't like to group all of sort of Asian entertainment together under one roof, but if you look at Indian filmmaking, the Bollywood tradition, if you look at Thai filmmaking, they combine all sorts of genres under one roof. You have musical numbers, you have dramatic moments, you might have, you know, a murder and then some slapstick comedy, almost as if you have to include as much as possible within one setting so the audience, you know, sort of gets a smorgasbord of entertainment. Does Noh tend to incorporate that, or do you feel that with this modern interpretation, which includes like Yakuza drama, classic samurai drama in the main text and musical numbers, sort of correlates with these other Asian art forms?
No, it does. That involves actually quite a lot of mini larger questions about theatre forms. But yes, in essence, a lot of non-Western, in fact, you could almost say sometimes a lot of non-British theatre is much more involved in that sort of spectacle. But if you were to go back to Shakespeare's time, you know, you were sitting in a pit, there was big costumes, you had to have a fight, you know, you had blood and gore, you had talking, you probably had a song and music, and then you had vaudeville and pantomime, all great traditions like that. But just over the last 50, probably 100 years, we've been much more caught up in sort of more realism and type drama. But yeah, if you go onto the continent, which has had it to some extent, but then particularly into Asian forms, where they're much more interested in what we would term spectacle or something like that. But specifically about the Japanese form, I mean, it was created probably in about the 1400s, and it's kind of like that aristocracy of a lot of the theatre forms. So although it has lots of this music and dance and aspects like that, it's a lot more still, at least in the classical way. And from that evolved what are actually much more popular forms in Japanese theatre today, like kabuki, which is a faster form, or the banraku, the puppet theatre as well. Those have kind of all emerged out of where Noh started, which was kind of much more stately. In the same way that maybe opera was the root form for how we get the musical today. And so opera still is quite popular, but generally doesn't appeal to the masses in the same way. But for our version of Noh, we took a lot of the roots of that tradition, but we felt that it was going to be a fusion of our art, because asking someone, a Western actor, to perform as a Noh performer in a classical tradition would like be asking me or you to perform in a full-length ballet in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah.
You can't see me, but it's not going to happen. So we felt that we had to reinterpret the physical language for a production of our time and place, which I think is always true of a lot of the best artworks, where they somehow are both relevant to the time and space, but somehow also transcend the time and space and culture and all of those type of boundaries as well.
One of the traditions of Noh and Kabuki are the exaggerated gestures, because presumably the original performers had sort of pancake faces with their expressions drawn onto them. They then had to exaggerate things like weeping in terms of physical gestures. At the risk of drawing too obvious a line between your day job as a behavioural neuroscientist and your theatrical work, was it the depiction of emotions kind of like heightened through dramatic gesture something that interests you in the form?
Well, I'm interested in it. I don't think it necessarily correlates with my interest in science exactly, except for the sort of mishmash that experience is. But Noh and Kabuki and things use a lot of mask work, as you did also in Greek tragedy. And it is very interesting that you can represent a lot of things. And I think it's very interesting in Western theatre. We've got very carried away with amazing character acting. And in theatre, a lot of that is kind of attributed to / blamed on Stanislavski and the sort of whole character or method acting school. But it's very interesting that the early practitioners actually felt there were two ways into, let's call it truthful character or a great performance, whatever you want to call it. And one was the inside out. So, yes, you take on the character's experience. You think what it would be like to be a hitman who has to go and buy a pint of milk. You get very into their character. And from that springs great emotion and great performances. Of which, you know, there's many character actors who use that method. But what was felt to be equally as useful and could be as brilliant is to do something which could be described as outside in, which would be like choose the hat and the tie and the suit of exactly what you think the character would be. And then from the physical gestures and from the movements that you think that character would be, from that, could you get an extremely truthful and a very physical expression? So I was very interested in exploring how effective an outside-in type performance could be. And then particularly on live stage, there's an added thing whereby in film and TV, you can kind of suspend your disbelief. Yeah, maybe that person really is getting shot to pieces. But you're not really going to get away with that on stage. You know, you can see them breathing. You know, they're not dead. And you can extend this to the fact that even if an actor cries on stage, and it can be something really moving and you get caught up and you think, oh my God, they are actually crying. There's some part of you which can always believe that is an actor acting crying, that they cannot actually ever, really ever be that person on that stage in that moment. They've got to do their performance again, blah, blah, blah. But there's something in the symbolism or in the gesture of crying which can be truthful, because they're saying, I am symbolizing crying at this moment in time. In fact, it's so emotional and so difficult to process that actually to physically cry would be to lessen what it is, because I would only be pretending to be that. Whereas as being the symbolic gesture, I can actually somehow embody that state of crying. And they would say that within these other forms, and particularly within the gestural form, that they get closer to that truth, that you're much more a symbolic and gestural vessel rather than something which has to be the thing or that person in that moment.
The framing of the play in a homoerotic strip club that's invaded by the Yakuza, that seems to come from the tradition of Shira Mono, where the spirits in a no play create a parallel between their world and then the world that the play is set in. That was something that was added by the director rather than you.
Well, it was a collaboration,
right?
Because there's definitely the parallels with the spirit world is definitely a very interesting thing which came up, but also is the use in terms of a typical no festival of something called Kyogen, which are kind of like comedy sketch shows that you have before the serious piece, although they don't actually have to be comedic. They're a kind of counterpoint. So whereas no would be, let's say, slow and pure, Kyogen would be fast, dirty and funny. So I was very keen on having some aspect of Kyogen represented. So we thought of having a prologue and an epilogue to the no play. And then the director, Jonathan, was very interested in setting up a world, but setting up a world which was somehow in opposite to the sort of pure sacrifice you make in the no world, i.e. something like a strip club. And so with that idea, I went away and actually wrote the scene.
Okay.
And I don't speak Japanese, so we then had it translated into Japanese to be portrayed as a sort of Japanese, I guess, yeah, like a Yakuza movie-type entrance.
Nakamitsu is on until the middle of June and performed twice a night at weekends and once during Monday to Thursday?
Yes, it's being performed Monday to Saturday at 7:30 every night, except for Fridays, where it's being performed at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and on Saturdays, where it's also being performed at 5:30. Its running time is about 50 minutes, and it goes on until June the 16th.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot. If you'd like to know more about the play, then please visit www.readyformyclosesup.blogspot.com, where there are links to Ben's blog and the Gate Theatre. And to hear more from me, I'll be on again later tonight at 10:30 talking to Paul Connell, writer of this week's Doctor Who.